really hoping that this sign-off launches more discussions, especially with the EU in the debt. It's kind of been not on the back burner, but we haven't been hearing so much about it in the news as of recent. This is still a huge problem. Same thing right now going on in Puerto Rico.
They're in danger of default again over in Greece is the problem, and they're trying to shake more funds out of the International Monetary Fund and the European Union. This was the only way to get the money. By the Chelsea Clinton's husband, by the way, managed to lose 90% of the value of his Greek recovery hedge fund and is now shutting it down.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
I wonder how many millions were in that?
Good on him. He started out with $25 million in seed money, so it's not...
Mm-hmm.
The people who lost... This is money that people can afford to lose.
Can the Clinton Foundation help him out?
It shows you that this guy's kind of a bum. Probably where that goes. Boaty McBoatface.
What? Every week.
Keeps coming back. It is the gift that keeps on. I love Boaty McBoatface.
These are the only stories that I don't read about Boaty McBoatface.
You should
it
know.
Is not...
By now.
So every week I need to keep looking up what is the latest on Boaty McBoatface.
You should know by now that if there is any headline involving Boaty McBoatface, I am going to be all over.
I've not seen any headlines involving Boaty McBoatface.
Where have you been? It was all over the place.
So we're at a point now where Boaty McBoatface was voted by the people in England to be named on the side of a research vessel, then was taken back, and now... going on
now. Well, the research vessel is officially going to be known as the HMS Sir David Attenborough, which is nice. He's the guy that does all of those nature documentaries that you see on the BBC, and they used to run them on PBS. He is one of the foremost television naturalists in the world. As soon as you hear the voice, you recognize that it's him, and he has probably done more than any other person in the history of this planet to educate people about the importance of the natural world. So that is a well-deserved honor. The people, of course, were upset that Boaty McBoatface would not be the name of the boat, but the name lives on. They have made a concession to the
did they name the dinghy?
Mobs of the internet, and they are going to name a remotely operated vessel on the ship Boaty McBoatface. So there will be...
So it does still have...
There will be a Boaty McBoatface... Rover.
On the boat.
Right. But the problem with that is that's not really a boat. You know, they should have called it Rovy McRoverface or Subby McSubface.
Paddle boat. Yeah.
Because it's a submersible.
Okay.
Should be Subby McSubface. But they are going to call it Boaty McBoatface.
So they're naming the thing that you don't actually see.
Yeah.
It's underwater.
Well.
We're going to name it. You're just not ever going to see the name.
Sooner or later, you will watch some television coverage of this research vessel in action. Like when it does something newsworthy, you will see news coverage where someone says, here is live footage from Boaty McBoatface. And then we'll all have a laugh and move on.
All right. Tom Brady.
Oh, God, I just saw something about him. Tom Brady was at the Kentucky Derby.
Surprised you missed this one.
Tom Brady. No, I heard something about it and it just didn't stick with me.
The much anticipated Tom Brady, the TB12 nutritional manual came out today.
That's right.
Completely sold out already on his website for $200 each one. Now, it is 100-pound Tex paper with covers made from natural wood that includes laser etching. Really, really fancy manual. Has how many? 89 recipes. His diet's awful. We've covered this on the show. Like no nightshades, tomatoes, strange things. No red meat. No chicken. Or only red meat. Yeah. Sold out, so you can't get it. I'm sure it's going for a hefty price tag on... one of the eBays or...
Oh, yeah, because it's a, you know, hey, this is off of Tom Brady's website. It's a collector's item.
Mm-hmm.
So.
He personally etched in the name.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Disney.
I know that. I saw this story.
This is a corporation, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Not the man.
stocks are down. Yes. I know that because of their channel. People are unsubscribing to their channel.
Yes, but it means what?
Layoffs.
No. Well, yes, but I can give you partial credit
for
this.
I
got to
get half of that.
The big story and the reason the stock is down and the reason all the rest of this is happening is Disney missed its earnings estimate for the first time in 2 years. This is a company that does not disappoint Wall Street, and they disappointed Wall Street in a big way.
Which panicked a lot of people. Well,
it's panicked Disney, and it's panicked the investment community.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
those
what
are people you don't want to panic. The reasons Disney gave for it were continuing abandonment of ESPN. Gee, I wonder why. Should have kept crazy Kurt Schilling around. but that's one of the reasons it's given for it. Soft theme park performance was another problem. The theme park division didn't do as well. Interestingly, Macy's came out today with same store sales down 7% year over year. And they are saying that soft performance in their tourist hubs, people in New York aren't going to Bloomingdale's and Macy's. And that's foreign tourists are weighing them down. So between Disney and Macy's, there's an economic slowdown happening, kids. You're
Which
just not hearing about it on the front page.
This week in Shanghai, they're testing out Shanghai Disney.
I think that's part of the problem here is that Disney has sunk a pile of money into that thing. And Shanghai Disney is going to open in, I think, another week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll start seeing some money from that, which helps. But in the meantime, you got a big problem over to ESPN. They have shut down their consumer software and electronics division, which means Disney Infinity, done. They're putting out a couple more play sets, and then that's over.
Mm-hmm.
That was the leading product in that space. So these are huge, aggressive moves. Ultimately, I think you have to either get rid of ESPN or
you
have to put ESPN on broadcast television. You have to do one of those two things because what's happened?
That would be an interesting move, moving into broadcast.
What's happened with all the cord cutting that's going on? Nobody wants to pay for ESPN anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and two years ago,
you would watch ESPN for sports talk or for a game,
right,
where you can now access that from the internet.
But it's not even that. 2 years ago, sports was seen as cord cutter proof. But you look at ESPN, what do they have?
It's a lot of talking now.
They've got Monday Night Football,
mm-hmm,
which if your local team is on broadcast in your local market, so you don't need it. It's only worth having if you're really into football like I am, and you can go watch it in a bar if that's the case, which is what everybody does.
They have Sunday Night Baseball,
you got Sunday Night Baseball, which, again,
doesn't bring in very high numbers with in comparison to Monday Night Football.
How much do you want to watch out-of-market teams? They've got other baseball games on during the week. There's usually some baseball on ESPN somewhere. They got the college football on Saturdays. That tends to be good for them. But what else?
But college football could also be picked up by another
But college broadcast. Football is every ABC's got it, NBC's got it. Everyone runs college football all day Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You can't escape college football on a Saturday.
No, but if we look at hockey, they don't have the rights to most of the hockey games or the playoffs. Those are going to be on TBS. Or same thing with NBA.
Yeah.
They're playing on TNT.
Yeah. You either need to double down and get the rights to something that will bring an audience that people really want to watch, or you got to throw it on a broadcast and see what you can do, because all the channel is for the most part now is a bunch of talking heads, and nobody in there is that interesting that I'm going to throw an extra $10 a month at my cable bill
just to watch.
Nothing is lost in my world if I can't see Scott Van Pelt. Plus, it's all free online anyway. So they got a problem over here, and it's a problem. And by the way, this is not a problem that's unique to Disney and ESPN. This is a problem that is going to be hitting more and more of these cable channels. Bravo, if you had to pay $10 a month for Bravo or Lifetime,
as much as I watch it, I'd get rid of it.
You're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're heading. We're heading toward an
age. Which is probably better for my mental health of not watching The Real Housewives. But, you know, you talk about the move of splitting what would be the best move, you think? Either getting rid of ESPN or actually putting ESPN on network. I would say on the network.
I'd say putting it on network because you still have your Disney.
You still have your audience.
Disney.
You're just more accessible.
The smartest thing that Disney could do, if I'm running this company and I'm looking to take Disney into the future, I'm Michael Eisner or whoever's calling the shots over there right now. I'm selling off all of my TV. Okay, I am selling off ABC, I'm selling ESPN, I'm getting rid of Freeform, I'm getting rid of all these Disney cable channels that I've got because there is no future there. I am going to move that original content online, which they've already started doing with their kids programming, and I am going to hold the licenses. I am going to produce content and let other people figure out how to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
The only company that has done well as both a content producer and a content distributor is HBO. And HBO has done this because they are very small compared to everyone else. It's the only thing that they do. And they are willing to go after any platform that's out there. And people are willing to pay money for their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And but they're also not saturating the market. They're very picky and choosy on what they hold on their platform.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't many shows on it.
Disney would do well to get away from all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Let somebody else go deal with those problems. You have Star Wars. You have Marvel Comics. You have all of your in-house characters. You have licenses coming out of the licenses. They actually made more money licensing Star Wars to Electronic Arts for the Battlefront video game than they did putting out their own Star Wars video game. That, to me, is a very simple business lesson. Whether or not anyone in Disney gets that, because you got all these people sitting around saying, no, we need to own every aspect of creation, production, and delivery so that we can monetize.
You also have division going on right now with who's going to be taken over. The next person in line has now backed out and said, not me. So there's been many names kind of floating around the corporate. So maybe that also has an effect on this.
The real issue that
the uncertainty in leadership.
The real issue that you have with television and video content right now is that the future is advertising free. The future is Netflix. The future is ad-free Hulu. The future is streaming on demand. Maybe you put a commercial at the front of it, but that's it. The broadcast networks will always be able to survive on an advertiser-supported model
mm-hmm.
because they're free over the air. You're not paying any extra money to get ABC or NBC or CBS, and we're willing to make that trade-off for advertising. Everybody else is in trouble. The only ones who might be able to skirt around this right now, as I look at the landscape, is AMC. Because AMC has done a pretty good job cobbling together some hot TV properties.
But when you talk about no advertising on something like a Hulu or Netflix, as of recent, we were seeing kind of those pop-up advertisements on the sites. So, are we going to be paying more as a consumer to make up for not having advertisers?
In theory, no, because the promise of Netflix is that this is advertising free.
Is more enticing for people to come on and join, knowing that they can watch it without it.
That's why people watch it. Mm-hmm. It's because everybody is sick to death of advertising. There's too much of it in too many different places.
Oh, absolutely. I can't watch real-time television. I always need it at least some sort of delay so I can fast forward through all the commercials.
I mean, I look at these cable channels and it's like, why am I paying $100+ a month to watch programming with commercials in it? I should be able to get this commercial free for what I'm paying.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix gives me that. And by the way, costs a heck of a lot less than the cable subscription. So I think the real problem with ESPN is that they don't have anything that people really want. You can fix that. And the way that you fix that is live sports. Because you're always going to have the super fans in every town that will keep Yes in business, that will keep Nesson in business because, we have the baseball and the hockey games.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
No,
here's my money. I want all the baseball
ESPN
and the hockey
games. ESPN has never been kind, especially to this area, to New England. You know, I was having a conversation with my roommate a couple days ago on how they weren't showing any of the local lacrosse games. And we're talking about big schools and big games playing, and they don't show it. There's a demand for that. So they need to understand their market.
But it's not national demand. That's why they're covering esports now. They're going to have the League of Legends tournament on or some other stuff that people who don't sweat like to watch. And yeah, I mean, that's it. But ESPN also isn't set up to be a regional broadcaster. They're set up to be a national broadcaster. It's the only thing they know. The 30 for 30 series is great.
Mm-hmm. And, absolutely.
But the thing about it is, I am not going to rearrange my life
so I can
watch a 30 for 30.
Because I'm sure you can find it online somewhere.
Guess what? It's going to be on Netflix in 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I can just watch it there if I'm really that motivated. And they're great. They're awesome documentaries. But again, it's not live programming. The pull for ESPN needs to be live programming, and it needs to be less sports center, more actual sports.
All right, West Point.
West Point, a group of female African-American cadets will not be sanctioned after they took a traditional photograph outside of West Point's oldest barracks, all raising their right hands in a fist in a show of solidarity. That yes. photograph attracted the ire of somebody on the West Point campus who suggested that they were
part of the Black Lives Matter.
Part of the Black Panther movement or whatever was going on, Black Power or whatever it was. But there will be no charges filed against them, nor should there be.
You're doing well.
Been paying attention this week. Swaddling.
Ooh, I know this. Swaddling. If you swaddle your child, or your infant, there's a higher risk for sudden infant death syndrome.
That's 100% correct.
So that is because for the most part, you're laying your baby on its back when it shouldn't be on its back, and it's too tight. I don't have children. I don't know the dynamics of swaddling.
Yeah. No, you just wrap them in a blanket and chuck them in the crib, and then they roll over and they die. So you actually, in some cases, may be increasing the risk of sudden infant death syndrome by as much as 30%. They are now recommending not swaddling the baby.
Stephen Curry.
Isn't it Stephen Curry? is going to be the NBA's MVP for the 2015/16
yes,
season.
Yes, first ever unanimous choice of MVP. So, especially this season, people are saying he kind of like revolutionized the game. I think his stats are like 400-plus three-pointers. We had a team that was undefeated up until maybe like the 25th, 26th game. Their entire record for the Golden State Warriors was, I believe, 79-9. It's pretty amazing, this player. So,
how many games did they win ultimately in the regular season?
It was in the 70s. It was like 73 or 79 and 9 losses.
So that's a new record.
Yes.
They only lost 9 games all season.
Well, they... Mm-hmm. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like 11 or so. But they were up there with the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
They were talking about one more win would surpass them in the most wins per season.
Unbelievable. And the guy's been putting up video game numbers all season long. He's not human. This is, for everybody who is waiting for the next electrifying, unbelievable superstar player to show up in the NBA, LeBron, for all of his talent, wasn't really that guy.
He came in third place.
Yeah.
MVP.
And LeBron does a lot of great things out on the court, but LeBron is nowhere near as exciting as a Michael Jordan was. Curry is as exciting as a Michael Jordan mm-hmm. was. Curry is a guy that you want to watch play. And it's just ridiculous what the guy's doing. You know, LeBron scores because he gets the ball all the time.
Doesn't pass.
That's the Cleveland offense. Give the ball to LeBron. LeBron puts the ball in the hoop. Steph Curry...
He's a playmaker.
It doesn't matter. He could be like underneath his own net. He's going to start sinking baskets. They should create a 5-point zone for that guy where he's got to shoot from half court. He'll hit 30%.
You see some of these shots and you're just like, how is that possible?
Yeah, it's amazing how well this guy can shoot. I don't know how he does it. I don't because I mean, with Jordan, it was a lot of driving into the paint and dunking.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to outmaneuver guys and get in close.
Well, he's Curry up to that level, which is just so amazing to watch.
Curry can do that, but Curry can also hit from mid-court.
Mm-hmm.
Curry can hit
from...
Well,
that is somebody you would not want to play GOAT with.
No, you are not beating him at GOAT ever. under any circumstances. What are you more likely to have heard of? I'm feeling generous. They're both sports stories. McKinney, Texas.
McKinney,
Texas.
I don't know.
All right, I'll give you an out, Rivaldo.
Is that a name?
Yep. Both sports stories.
Out, Rivaldo.
Rivaldo.
I have no idea.
You watched it. If you followed any sports news in the past, well, McKinney, Texas is recently approved a $62.8 million high school football field. These guys are about 5 miles up the road from that other town in Texas that has a $60 million football field. McKinney is going to go them one better. Rivaldo is a former member of the Brazil national soccer team who came out very late yesterday or early today.
Rivaldo, not Ronaldo.
No, he played with Ronaldo.
Okay.
This guy's name is Rivaldo. Rivaldo came out and said, don't come to Brazil. That was his advice ahead of the Olympics. Don't come to Brazil. It is a bad place that is full of terror. And he was speaking specifically about the murder of a 17-year-old girl in one of the bad neighborhoods. Obviously, the Brazilian government is not so happy with Mr. Rivaldo right now.
All right, last one for you. North Carolina.
North Carolina's, I believe it is a senator who is openly gay, has introduced a bill that will overturn the bathroom bill that they passed last month, which has been a source of nothing but joy for the state of North Carolina.
A little bit bigger story. We have...
Are we talking about the dueling lawsuits?
Yes.
That would be the governor of North Carolina,
Pat McCrory,
has sued the Justice Department. The Justice Department has in turn sued the state of North Carolina and the University of North Carolina system, which came out today and said they are not going to follow the law. They're going to let people pee in whatever room they want to pee in,
mm-hmm,
because they don't want justice coming down on them.
Now, the state university system, and this is really what is at stake, we're talking about $1.4 billion from federal money going to the state university. So, a lot of bad stuff going on down there.
Yeah. All right, this is one that I would expect. This is one I'd expect you to know. Uber and Lyft.
Ooh, Uber and Lyft in Austin, Texas.
Very nice.
Are no more. And that is because Austin, Texas is requiring Uber and Lyft to use their standards of fingerprinting and doing background checks. And they said, no way.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Our background checks are good enough.
Specifically, Austin wanted
them. Reason 450 to hate Uber.
Yeah, Austin specifically wanted fingerprint checks. And Uber and Lyft both said, we're not going to do that, which tells you that their background checks are complete crap and meaningless, because a fingerprint check works.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know who it is. Not just some guy that shows up and says, I'm Joe. Can I drive for you? I'm Joe. Can I drive for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're pretty good this week.
Again.
You're a little bit better.
Evil companies that you should probably not be getting rides from. Don't take rides from strangers. That's what mom said. When we come back here on WMFO Medford on The Big Picture, Facebook is in the crosshairs for no perfectly good reason. We will explain why and why more needless conservative outrage is being foisted upon the American people right here on WMFO Medford.
Try. Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
2 weeks, 14 days, 326 hours. Every second that your family could be exposed to radiation after a nuclear attack. Radiation that kills.
To survive, a fallout shelter is a necessity. Equipment and supplies are essential.
Now, Survive All Shelters, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, offers a basic equipment kit with
a Conelrad high-powered radio, transistor-operated for long battery life,
a complete, fully stocked first aid kit,
a heavy-duty fire extinguisher, emergency water containers, a chemical toilet for protection against contamination and disease,
extra-strength Saran and Rayon bunks,
a radiation meter and individual dosimeters.
For protection, every second of each hour of every day. See a survive-all shelter now.
The same faces and names only cause trouble for me. Faces and names.
WMFO 91.5 Medford, and this is The Big Picture with Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday night. Now, you would think estimated 600 million people see news stories on Facebook every week.
And the smart ones see them on our feed.
Yes.
That's facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo.
Some of those stories we've been posting. A lot of numbers.
facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. You get the most important news story or the most interesting news story
and
of
not
the day. Shipped straight to your feed. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is like us, and you will get something in your feed every day that you're like, I need to read this, or wow, that's cool.
Now, these 600 million people that are estimated, you would think that when they're looking for news, they're getting the most popular stories or the most trending stories, if they're using this.
That's what Facebook says you're getting.
Well, maybe not. Facebook admitted conservative topics on the trending list. Now, this is an allegation that the news stories would be suppressed. So that's everything from...
Well, Facebook didn't admit that.
Lois Lerner. No. But what happened is you have a few people, they're staying anonymous right now, and they come out and said, I worked as contractors for Facebook. And we're talking about 20s, 30-year-olds that work in there. And they decide what goes on. And they're actually saying that sometimes they, even if a topic isn't trending, they can infiltrate the trending topics with said news story.
Right.
Therefore saying that all of the trending topics are not the most popular ones.
Not all of them, but some of them might not be. Some of them might be about things like Black Lives Matter that they think are important that people mm-hmm. aren't talking about. Because people don't talk about that. So they would stick it into the trending feed to get people talking about it. This information comes to us courtesy of Gawker Media. They were the ones that broke this story.
It's Gizmodo.
Gizmodo is part of Gawker Media.
Mm.
This is something that, this is, there are a couple of angles to this story. This, but this
Gawker-ish.
Is, yeah, absolutely. If you are part of Gawker Media, you are part of the problem. Okay, this was a Gawker Media story. This was a Gawker Media story written by one Michael Nunez. You might know him from such hard-hitting news stories as Mark Zuckerberg throws shade at Donald Trump during keynote speech, and Firefly 2 is the beginner vape for the experienced stoner. Those are just some of his Pulitzer-worthy journalism credentials. Mr. Michael Nunez spoke to a bunch of disgruntled former Facebook employees. One of them, although the way that he wrote his original story, it sounded like two. In a subsequent story, he said it was one employee, one disgruntled former Facebook employee, told Michael Nunez of Gawker they suppress conservative stories. They put in the stories that they want to see. One disgruntled former employee. Can I begin to tell you?
There have some media outlets that have come out and said there have been more sources.
No, there are none. There is not a single one, because I have looked at the entire range of coverage on this. Everybody references the same story from Gawker Media.
Mm-hmm.
One guy came out and said they suppress conservative points of view. That should never have seen the light of day. This is a non-story. There is nothing to look at here. There is an angry former employee who didn't like the fact that he had to work long hours and was actually expected to produce something, complaining about the fact that a company that hires a bunch of leftists straight out of Harvard has a leftist bias in its news coverage. Of course they do. When you have wolves...
But you honestly can't be shocked by that.
When you have wolves watching the sheep, some sheep are going to be dead every morning. That's a reality of life. There is no story here.
But you also can't not believe that there are employees that are saying... You know, I'm not saying that every story that has a conservative spin on it, they're saying no, no, no. But to say that it is based solely on these algorithms.
That is incorrect.
They're not. Nothing is completely based on the algorithms. Even if algorithms are used, they can be skirted a little bit by the employees.
Well, that's the actual story that's here. Is that what everybody thought was an algorithm-based list of trending topics based on what people are talking about is in fact curated by people who are passing some editorial judgment on mm-hmm. what goes in that list.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's always some human being that's going to have some oversight or have some condition to intrude in on the algorithms. It's the same thing when you do Google search, and
no,
I'm not. But
no,
listen,
it's not.
But listen, I'm not saying.
No, it's not.
I'm not saying
Google does not work like. Don't say another word.
No,
Google does not work like that.
What I am saying is, it's not like there are five guys, you know, behind the wall when you're doing a Google search and putting in wires here and there. It's going to give you the topics that should be searched first, but they have the power to do that.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
They really don't.
And yeah, they absolutely do.
They really don't. And if you listen,
I understand this is what you're going.
I
come
work
on,
with
there's
Google.
No power for them to.
I work with
intrude in on the system.
I work with Google. I have talked to people who I haven't talked to anybody who's specifically on the search engine algorithm, but I've talked to people who know them. I've talked to people who work out in California on the super secret Google stuff, okay? They do not have the power to alter search results. The only power
Everything's possible.
The only power that they have is the ability to exclude things based on a set of rules. For example, Google came out today and said,
which is almost the same thing.
No, Google came out today and said, we're not running any ads for payday lenders. That's in their advertising platform. Mm-hmm. On the search side of things, they can't do it. Believe me when I tell you, they can't do it.
No, and that's what I'm saying. It's not like Google search that somebody is constantly filtering out things. I believe that eventually it could be possible when we're talking about a search engine, especially for Google. Are you kidding? Like,
there were search engines.
A company that has the elite in computer programming, they can't figure out how to do that?
There were search engines that were built on that exact
premise.
Maybe
that's just not what they're disclosing to you.
No, Google is not doing it because the Europeans will sue them out of existence if they do that.
You have to understand.
It is in Google's interests, if they want to survive, not to do this.
You have to understand also the power and scope of what Facebook is now.
Well, that's the issue here. That's the broader issue in this, not the non-story from Gawker Media that everyone should have ignored. This is the same Gawker Media, by the way, that published the Hulk Hogan sex tape.
Yes.
Is now accusing Facebook.
Do they think that this story is going to rectify them?
Is now accusing Facebook of a conspiracy against conservatives based on information provided by one disgruntled former employee. Believe me when I tell you that there is raucous laughter in every legitimate newsroom on the planet when they hear the origin of this story. No responsible news organization on the planet would publish a story based on information from one disgruntled former employee.
Stone.
No. No, because Sabrina Rubin Early made that happen. That was a bad journalist, okay? I don't know if there's actual editors at Gawker or not. I think the rats are fleeing the sinking ship.
Yeah, I think they all don't want to be sued at this point. But as I say,
but if you're gonna publish this story, somebody else in that organization looked at this, because you don't draw a bullseye on Facebook without expecting some blowback. Mm-hmm. And this is some of the shoddiest, most useless reporting from a company that prides itself on meaningless, misleading clickbait. To turn around and try and present this as a legitimate news story, when that's really all it is. The problem is that this one blew up on them on a way that they didn't expect.
But you also had to look at their track record. And their
track record's atrocious.
Horrific.
Not a news source. Not a news organization. Not legitimate in any way, shape, or form.
But what I'm really pointing out is when you hear a story like this and it gets people talking, it makes you really understand how big this is and the amount of power that these platforms, because I mean, we're not in the days of a Brokaw and like all these people that we grew up Jennings watching, that was that one single voice that you were listening to on the news at night. This is where a majority of people are getting their news. And Mark Zuckerberg has come out before and says, yes, I want a monopoly on all the news.
Yeah.
People will read more news if it comes to them as quick as Facebook is changing. So the minute people are changing their Facebook status, same thing is going on with the stories. They're constantly going down. And it's interesting because sometimes when I post something, I want to see what other people are saying about it. And a popular news story, it is cranking.
Yeah.
I mean, it is scrolling down and down.
Well, it's got at least one senator upset, because as soon as you yell media bias, you are going to have Republicans swarming all over the place. Mm-hmm. The senator in this case is John Thune of South Dakota, who is the chairman of the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, because he is the chairman of the Commerce Committee. He is someone that Facebook does not want to run afoul of because they are engaged in interstate commerce. He sent them a bunch of lists and a request to keep their calendars open for a forthcoming appearance before Congress, which means congressional hearings may now be on the way over a clickbait non-story published based on something said by a single disgruntled former employee.
And as you said in the beginning of the show, it's not like Washington doesn't have many things that they can be going, you know, over.
Really, they should be hauling Gawker Media in front of Congress and asking who the source was, who the reporter is.
It'll never happen.
Whether they think this is an appropriate use of their quote-unquote journalism platform. Mm-hmm. Instead, they're going to be asking Facebook, have Facebook news curators, in fact, manipulated the content of the trending topics section, either by targeting news stories related to conservative views for exclusion or by injecting non-trending content.
Now, if we look at the other side of it and not saying suppressing conservative, but advancing more liberal stories, would that be fair enough?
No.
Do you think that actually happened?
It doesn't. None of it happened, as far as anyone can prove.
And I'm not saying based off of this one eyewitness of it or working with it. But do you ever, of course, you look at every single day the trending topics on Facebook and they tend to lean. I know you do, because you talk about that you use them for, did you hear?
No, I don't.
At all?
Ever.
Okay. Well, then I do. And if you look at many of the topics, they're either completely nonsense, useless, or it's a lot of Black Lives Matter. There's not many things coming up. Randomly here and there, you'll get a Trump. But I can understand where he's saying it. I'm not saying that this is valid, this claim, understanding where it's coming from, but it wouldn't surprise me. Not the suppressing part, but the boosting forward, more liberal, leaning left articles. That is more believable than suppressing.
Because
essentially what happens, you boost them forward, those go down.
It doesn't matter because we don't know what's going on with it. All we have is testimony from one guy who's unhappy that he ever worked there. It'd be like me getting kicked.
No, but it's also.
It'd be like me getting kicked off of WMFO and going down to New York and finding Mr. Nunez, assuming that he's not vaping so he can write another story for Gawker, and saying, hey, did you know that Tufts University suppresses conservative points of view? And then he writes a story about it. And then Congress is leaning on the FCC to take WMFO's license away from them.
Mm-hmm.
This is nonsense. This is a waste of everybody's time. But the reason it's relevant is because Facebook is driving the news cycle right now. That's why I don't read their trending topics. You want to know where I get my news from? I go to MSN. Go to MSN, hit their news button. Everything worth knowing is right in front of you.
No, and absolutely. But when you have a giant icon that is in the top right-hand side of your screen, of course you're going to see it. But I'm not talking about just that. It's now being embedded into your news feed. So whether you are purposely looking for it, these trending topics are little pop-ups, just like a status update.
You'd be stunned at how little time I spend on Facebook every week. Other than that 5 minutes every morning to post something, mm-hmm. I'm not there. I don't use it.
But it's different generation.
Oh, I realize that. That is the problem.
This is way past your generation for it being.
No.
So many. My grandmother is obsessed with it.
No.
But for being an everyday constant use.
No, not at all. That's not.
Even my generation is so much. You look at.
That's not what I'm saying. I don't use it because it's crowdsourced and I don't care what the mob is saying. Whatever the mob is talking about, this is why we do this show, by the way. Whatever the mob is talking about is not important. What the mob is not talking about is what we need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who are doing the bad things take advantage of the fact that the mob is talking about the Kardashians and whether or not some kid, with the help of the Canadian government, found a lost Mayan civilization. Instead of talking about what's happening in the retail sector where everyone is posting year-over-year losses. That's not anything you're ever going to see trending on Facebook.
No, of course not. And we say that
all the
time.
That's the story.
It's the same thing when you have, you know, Huffington Post calling itself a credible news source.
It's not.
And same thing, like, Facebook isn't the most important stories you need to know, but this whole idea of, like, hashtag trending. Yes, you get a lot of pickups for it. I mean, a news story can get thousands of likes.
Oh, yeah.
Just based off of, look how many stories from our Facebook page that either of us put on our wall or one of our friends shares it. You know, the looks on it or the views go from, you know, maybe 150 to upwards of 800, 900.
Yeah.
So it's. That's how quickly this can spread. And when I say I don't go to Facebook to look at the trending topics, you can't not. So if I'm even wondering what my friend's new baby looks like and I'm scrolling pictures, but you're still looking at it. It's highlighted. It's bright.
It doesn't.
It's not like you're searching. It's in your face.
No, if it's not something for my friend, I don't even look at it. I don't even see it. I skip right by it. I don't read it. I don't look at the headline. I don't care what it is. If I am on Facebook to see what my friends have posted.
Yeah,
I don't care about anything else.
You are going to see a one word or two word headline when it's on trending.
Can I tell you something?
It stands out.
When you do this when you do this for a living.
Okay, then you have such better skills at skimming.
When you do this for a living,
teach me, wise one.
As I do, you learn to get tunnel vision online. I can block out advertising all day long. Don't even see it. As soon as it pops up, click it off. Not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Don't read it. Just the only thing that I'm looking for is the button that will make it go away. because it's what I do. I'm surrounded by this stuff. I have been for 5 years now. So, yeah, I'm very good at seeing only what I want to see on a page. Mm. But that's aside the point. Facebook has an awful lot of power in that regard right now. And it's a bad thing for a couple of reasons. Number one, they are not held, nor is Gawker Media held, to the same standards as a legitimate news organization. They are not trustworthy gatekeepers. Neither is the Huffington Post, by the way. Not trustworthy gatekeepers. Not people who should be informing anyone. Now, in the case of the broadcast networks, which used to be where everybody went, the government could always wield the power of the FCC to keep them in line. Broadcasters know this, which is why a broadcaster will not take the word of one disgruntled former employee and turn it into some kind of big conspiracy story. They're smarter than that. They know that there will be consequences if they do that. They either get kicked out of the White House press corps, or they get kicked off of the campaign plane, or they get fined by the FCC. That's the ultimate power that the government has in this case, is to fine organizations or to take their licenses away.
The standards are held much higher.
Facebook
can do whatever they want.
We're not a news organization. Mm-hmm. That's their argument. We're not a news organization. This is just what people are talking about. And if you're getting your news from what people are talking about, you're done for. Sooner or later, you're jumping off a bridge. That's what happens. Well, if you get your news from what everyone else is talking about.
And Derek and I have had this conversation with you before, and I will talk about certain things that are going on with the election or certain things that are very large news stories to people, and nobody's ever even heard of them.
Yeah.
But again, if you ask them about what were the top three trending stories today on Facebook, then yes. And now you wonder why.
I hear Black China's pregnant. With Rob Kardashian's baby. That's going to get interesting.
You wonder why these news stories from something like a Gawker spread so quickly, get so many people talking. It's this concept that the whole story is based around.
It's because dessert is always better than dinner. If you put donuts, chocolate donuts, out in front of people, and you put scrambled eggs in front of people, people will take all the donuts. Mm-hmm. All 100% of the time.
No, but the concept of trending and how quickly people can pass information from social media sites just based off of hashtags or just based off of what your friends are looking at and then it's suggested for you. It's amazing how quickly it can go from one person to another.
But it's not news necessarily, and it's having a very outsized impact on how the American people are informed, and Congress is not happy about that. So Mark Zuckerberg and the Facebook people now need to spend a lot of time groveling in front of Congress because someone at Gawker Media wrote a story about a disgruntled former employee who didn't like what was in the trending topics feed. Your taxpayer dollars are being wasted because someone at Gawker Media published a story that never should have seen the light of day. Welcome to Crazy Town, kids. That's where we're living right now. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture on The Town with Mikey D is coming your way in less than 10 minutes. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. But before we let that happen, we still have our favorite stories from the past week and the strangest things from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
Okay, gang, so chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All aboard!
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
WMFO Medford, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite news story from this week, and a show that was one of our both of our favorites, because you used to watch The Newsroom as well.
I love The Newsroom.
So sad that it went off the air. If you go to, it's now on YouTube, or Bloomberg Politics, Jeff Daniels, Newsroom is back, sort of. Jeff Daniels reprises his role in Aaron Sorkin's show that was, 2012-2014, as Will McAvoy.
Nice.
Being interviewed by a series of different journalists on his kind of take of the 2016 election.
Nice.
And talking about Trump. And it is so Will McAvoy. It's amazing. One of the best quotes. Yeah, Donald Trump is a fact-bending loose cannon who alienates mainstream voters with everything he says, but gets constant media channel for free. And he's just like so angry when it's so great. And if you are a fan of the show, definitely check it out, because it will make you want it to come back.
I will have to, well, I want it to come back anyway, but I'll have to go.
Is
look
your
for
what's
that.
Hot, that thing that you've been drinking?
It is. I don't know.
I knew there was a reason why you were drinking.
Well, no, I'm drinking it because it's good, but I don't know how many
but
people would wear
it up
this.
From your Mountain Dew you drink every day.
Yes. Pepsi has entered the craft cola market, I guess is the only way to describe this. They've got two new products out. One of them is 1893. The other one is an old school ginger ale. And I'll tell you, a 12-ounce can of this stuff is going to set you back about $1.85. So that's typically the 20-ounce price. It's not bad stuff. This is based.
How much difference really does it taste?
Quite a bit.
Really?
Because this is based on their original cola formula, and it is made with the ingredients that they used back in 1893. This is why it costs more, by the way.
So what's in it?
Including cola nut extract, which is the actual source of cola. It's what cola gets its name from. This is where the whole thing began. Malt flavor. Aromatic bitters. And you can tell that that's there. Sparkling water and real sugar.
Hmm.
So this is cola as it...
It looks like a Red Bull can.
It does. It comes in the same sort of skinny can.
Mm-hmm.
And the ginger ale is made with... or the ginger beer, I should say, because that's what it is.
Oh, it's ginger beer.
It's ginger beer. It's non-alcoholic ginger beer, which is what...
Ginger beer is.
No, there's...
There's no alcohol in ginger beer. There is ginger
yes,
beer
there is.
That has added alcohol. There is not. We had this debate.
And you were wrong, and I will get you the history, and you can educate yourself. But their ginger ale is made with real ginger, fresh ginger. It's made with the real sugar. And again, it's good stuff. But I will warn
Kraft
you,
cola.
It has flavor. So if you're not into flavor, you don't want this.
So sugar is not the predominant flavor.
No. The predominant flavor in this is definitely the cola nut, followed by the aromatic bitters.
Huh.
And the sugar does sweeten things up a little bit, but that's you're not coming away from this being like, sugar!
What about the caffeine in it?
I don't know what the caffeine content is. It's not, they don't...
Because I would think with the more natural flavors, it would be a little bit
there
less.
Is, yeah, no, there is added caffeine because there was, they actually didn't use caffeine back in the day. They used cocaine. They can't do that anymore.
They didn't add that to the
They don't tell you how much is in here, but it's not like Mountain Dew where it's the first ingredient in the product.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Crack.
Good stuff.
Hmm.
Highly recommended. You'll have to look for it in little out-of-the-way places in the supermarket because it's a special product from them.
Can but you get singles or is
you can get singles. CVS has got singles. So you can go to CVS and get a single, give it a try, see if you like it. If you are bored with cola, this may get you excited again.
Hmm. Where's your head at? And that's the thing that happened, the craziest news story from this week, Florida. Florida man shot himself in the arm while cleaning a handgun, but didn't realize it until 3 days later when he finally changed his shirt. An arrest report for the Volusia County Sheriff's deputies were called after 37-year-old Michael Blevins checked himself into a Florida hospital, Fish Memorial, Saturday. Blevins told him he was cleaning his .22 caliber pistol on Thursday and had it held against his chest to keep his dog from jumping near it. The Daytona Beach News Journal reported that Blevins stood up and his back gave out, accidentally knocking his head on the glass table on the floor. He says he heard the shotgun go off, but didn't feel the pain, possibly because of medicine that he had been taking. He said he went about his business until Saturday when he changed his long sleeve shirt and saw the entrance and exit wounds. Police later visited the home where they determined that he was indeed shot himself. One, he shot himself. Two,
didn't change his shirt for 3 days.
Didn't change.
Three.
And why are you wearing a long sleeve shirt in Florida?
Three, didn't feel it because of the painkillers that he's taking.
Yeah.
Probably opioid. He should just get a shirt that says America.
America.
Because he deserves to wear America more than that Budweiser can does. Florida. Stephen Albritton is facing multiple charges after police found him slumped inside his vehicle with his teenage daughter in the passenger seat and his son in the backseat. Police could not get him to respond, so they sent him to a local hospital where testing revealed his blood alcohol was 0.60.